Folks, LPR business guru Craig Feitinger has informed me that we're a little less than $34,000 short of making budget this year. As you consider your year-end giving, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Support Issues, etc., Truth-Centered Mission Outreach. Any size gift is deeply appreciated, and as a way of saying thanks, we'll send you a CD of a sermon that I preached on Christmas and another on the baptism of Jesus. You can financially support Issues, etc. by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping Issues, etc. in mind at the end of 2011.
Our commitments to protect the freedom of religion and to defend the dignity of LGBT people emanate from a common source.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian, but you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school.
You don't get any more intimate than to be there on your knees in the manger of your church, receiving in your own mouth this Christ in his body and blood.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
I don't know if you think about it this way, if you attend a church where you speak one of the historic creeds every Sunday, as many churches do. It's been the church's practice for as long as the church has been around to confess the faith in the sound pattern of words come to be known as the creeds. I don't know if you think about it this way, but you really tell not just the whole salvation story, but you tell the Christmas story too, especially when you recite as a congregation the Nicene Creed. We don't think about it in those terms. But we really are telling and confessing the whole nativity, the entire way that Christ has entered into the world through the womb of the Virgin Mary in that Nicene Creed. We're going to talk about the Christmas story and the Nicene Creed with Pastor George Borghardt here in the first half hour of this hour of Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 15th, and our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, as usual, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address @issuesetc. A little bit later, Pastor Bill Swirla will join us. We're going to talk about the words from Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled Christmas in the Nicene Creed. George, welcome back.
Merry Advent.
And to you as well. Do we sell Christmas short by limiting it to one day, or even, as the church often celebrates it, one short season a year?
Right. The incarnation can't be sold short by us, but yeah, we try to. And we've gotten in the world. The world has it wrong, but it's both happy and sad. The world doesn't even celebrate Christmas. The world celebrates Christmas Eve. The world's all Christmased out by Christmas Day. The whole world magnifies the birth of Christ for a time, even if they don't know it. We in the church, we should be celebrating the incarnation year-round. In fact, every time we say the Nicene Creed, we confess the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ with the three little words, and he became man. In the Latin, homo factus est. He became man. We celebrate the incarnation. So we do it for 12 days, but we do it every Sunday or every time we have the Lord's Supper with those three little words, homo factus est, and he became man.
When we say he became man, there are a lot of ways to misunderstand that, and there's just about only one way to rightly understand that. What are we confessing when we say he became man?
We are confessing the eternal Word, the Son of the living God, took on our flesh. He and was born of the Virgin. We're saying what the Creed says. He has hands. He has toes. God has hands. God has toes. God has feet. God has a belly button. I mean, that's what we're confessing, that the Father didn't become man, the Spirit didn't become man, God didn't change into, the Father didn't change into a man, or he didn't change modes. We're not saying that. We're saying the eternal Son, who was begotten of the Father from all eternity, who is co-equal with the Father in majesty, he became man, and he became man to take upon himself our sin and to be our Savior.
See, those are the words that I think really have to go together with that he became man. Otherwise, it's just kind of a historical oddity. Who for us men and for our salvation? Talk about those. Talk about those.
He doesn't become man just to sort of tour being man. He becomes man in order to save us. And that should cause us a pause and make us make our Advent preparation doubly excited, because God becomes flesh. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, not doing this in order to save us. He's going to trade the wood of the manger, says one of the church fathers, for the wood of the cross. That's why he becomes flesh. He becomes flesh in order to live a life that we should live and live before God perfectly, in righteousness and purity, to fulfill every law, every precept, every requirement that God has for mankind, and then to suffer and die for all the things that man has done wrong, to reconcile God and man, not by man moving to God, but by God coming to us, taking upon our flesh, living as we should live, and then dying the death we deserve. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate, took on us, incarnate, in the meat, incarnate. Yeah, we have chili con carne, chili with meat. He took on our meat, took on our flesh, carne of the Virgin Mary, and became man. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. We're not saved because there's God in the flesh. We're saved because of what the God in the flesh did for us. He lived and died for me.
One of my pet peeves about the church art, and I know it means well, it really does, but church art surrounding the birth of Christ, the Christmas scene that we're so familiar with of Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger, it's hard to find one, a really good quality painting of Jesus in the manger without a hint of this, George. It's, I don't know, you've got kids. None of my children, after being born, ever glowed. They never radiated light. And I know that they mean well, but these artists have Jesus glowing as though he's lit from within, you know, with a 100-watt bulb. Reminiscent, sad to say, of kind of a plastic glowing Jesus in a yard nativity. And one of the things, the reason it's a pet peeve, George, and you probably share this opinion, is because that's not what human babies do. Human babies don't glow. You would not have looked into the manger and had to shield your eyes from this baby. Talk about that, that even in our well-meaning ways, how we rob him of his humanity when we depict him in this way.
Right. Jesus, could you put that light out, please? We're trying to sleep. We do it. That one is one, and we're singing carols for the shut-ins, and we're singing Away in a Manger, and we get to the No Crying He Makes, and I lean over to my son and I sing out loud, and crying out loud he made. Babies cry. Babies don't glow. You know, these are things that we sort of make Jesus out to be something other than one of us. Dr. Luther, when he's talking about the Christmas gospel's history, never make Jesus more too human. He can never be too human. And so when you look and contemplate the manger, contemplate babies, helpless, unable to glow all by themselves, sort of messy, looking like little old people. And so all my babies look like, all my sons look, my son and my daughter look like little old people when they were sleeping. Eyes, fingers, toes, the whole lot. You can't, and crying. Oh my goodness, babies cry. How else do they communicate? And crying he makes. He's not Superman. You know, I used to picture Jesus when he was young, you know, kicking the ball further than anybody else. That's not what his being God is about. He is God, and he is man to save us. And he is God in order to answer for our crimes. He is man to die in our place.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor George Borghardt, talking about the Christmas story and the Nicene Creed, in particular those words, He became man. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, our Twitter address, at IssuesETC, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, IssuesETC.org. Or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
We're talking with Pastor George Borghardt about the Christmas story in the Nicene Creed. Well, that takes us back to at least the 4th century. And of course, these words could not have been penned, and they're just such a beautiful distillation of the wisdom and the learning of the early church on the person and work of Jesus Christ. These could not have been penned by men of lesser minds or of lesser faith than these ancient church fathers. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for December is called A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year. The title says it all. You want to spend a year with some short, pithy, and very meaningful devotions with the early church fathers, this is the resource for you, a way to mine the wisdom and the sound theology of the church throughout the ages. The book is called A Year with the Church Fathers. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for December. It's from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about the Nicene Creed and the Christmas story. David listens in Kansas City. Hi, David.
Hi, Pastor. Welcome. This is David from Kansas City. And, I actually was listening to your discussion about the favorite pet peeve, no crying he makes. And I've actually come around on that line because of the Nicene Creed, that line in Away in a Manger, because no crying he makes. No, of course Jesus wasn't Superman. He didn't, but he didn't cry out in protest. He didn't cry out in, resisting his desire to save us, of coming into the flesh for us and for our salvation. He humbled himself even to the point of death, Philippians 2 says. And so, there's no crying, no protest against what he has come to do.
I guess that's one way of understanding it, David. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. I was thinking about that, too, during the break, because the hymn writer has the cattle lowing, and cattle's low. I mean, you can't stop them from doing it. And, the scenario is this little baby wakes up, but he's a good little boy, so he doesn't cry. I mean, that goes to the nature of Christ's sinlessness. Someone would say, well, if he is sinless, then he's not going to cry. He's not going to do any of those kind of things. But does that rob him of his humanity, George?
Oh, he does cry, though. He weeps at the tomb of Lazarus. He mourns and weeps over Jerusalem. Crying's not a sin. Good boys don't cry. Good boys don't. Well, what is us, he takes on, minus our sins. And so, yes, he doesn't cry to take on our flesh, but cold, damp, pain, he feels it all. Hunger. God gets hungry. The whole thing with God is that you look under the definition of God, and need is not one of them. But yet, he's in the manger, and he needs food. When God becomes flesh in the person of Jesus, you say things about God that is inconceivable. He's hungry. He sleeps. That's just God is asleep in a manger. Oh, amazing. And as we sort of are in the Advent season and we're saying the Creed, it would do us well to pause as we say it and ponder the words and the magnificence of the words. In the early church, when the words, when the words, and he became man were said, everyone would take off their hat, they would bow their heads, and they would drop a knee. They would drop a knee. We don't kneel for anyone. We're Lutherans, Protestants. Protestants don't kneel. But they would drop a knee because of the magnificence, of the glory, of the majesty of God who would become flesh and take on our humanity, to redeem our humanity. Luther was lamenting that nobody was dropping a knee anymore. Nobody was even taking off their hats anymore. They were sort of treating it like we do, where we're sort of thinking about the latest Facebook game about whether we go and collect our crop from Farmville or whatever, wonder what the dog's doing as we're saying the words, and he became man. I would say, as we sort of go into the Advent, as Advent sort of culminates with the birth of Christ, pause on the words, and he became man. Ponder them with holy reverence. And for the sake of your neighbor, drop your head. Just bow it. You're free to bow. You're free to bow in Christ. You're free not to. But all the more for the sake of your neighbor, that these are holy words, that these are magnificent things that have occurred. See, in this world, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Why not? Everything is out of the box. You've heard that, Todd, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Everybody's doing out-of-the-box things. I go to my circuit meetings, and all the pastors are doing out-of-box things, and it's good for them. But for me, all the out-of-the-box things look the same: coffee houses, cool contemporary stuff, and God bless them for reaching out to Jesus like that. But all the out-of-the-box things look the same. They do. I mean, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'll dig my own hole. They all look the same. You want to do something out of the box, bow your head at the words, and he became man. You want to do something out of the box? You want to do something innovative or relevant? Drop a knee at the words, and he became man. Or I this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you and for forgiveness of sins. You do that, you're doing something out of the box. That'll get you on TV, what they call it, Tebowing. We have a word for that in the Christian church. It's called reverence. It's called genuflect. It's called Jesus is man. And he's on the altar. Pause and ponder. Pause and ponder the Advent season. The word's homothocosis, and he became man.
You're driving it to what is what Jesus himself recognized as the stumbling block. It is not his divinity that his opponents stumble over, that they are offended at, but precisely at his humanity.
Oh, right. In the early church, that they were struggling with, how can God become man? How can a man be God? How can a man be God is what they were struggling with. Now we struggle with, how can God be a man? Because he doesn't fit the definition of God for him not to be able to jump out or glow. Ha ha ha! I'll use yours. It doesn't fit that. So we have to take our definition of God and throw it into the trash because it's not biblical. You want to see God? You want to see God? You look at the babe helpless in the manger. That's the revealed God. That is how God has revealed himself to men. In the strange, awesome sight that the shepherds go, huh, that's sort of strange, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let's go see this. You want to see God? And then you sort of fast forward. You want to see God, Good Friday. He's someone that Pilate can mock. So you are a king. And Herod can joke about, and the people can reject. And then you can take nails into God's hands and drive them into his hands and feet and hoist him above the earth until God dies. God dies. Inconceivable. It's scandal. That's not God enough for me. You know, that's the only God there is. Yeah, the God who takes on our flesh, lives the life that we should live, suffers and dies under Pontius Pilate, is crucified, dead, and then you can put God in the tomb, but he's going to come out in 3 days, never to die again.
There's a saying from the ancient church, and I'd like your thoughts on it as we wrap up our conversation, having to do with him becoming man. What he did not assume, he did not redeem. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, he takes on everything which is us. All of our weaknesses, except for our sins, all of our temptations, all that we carry, all the aches and the pains that we have, all the burdens that we have, he assumes it all. Achy joints, all of it. Everything that is our humanity, he takes on in order to redeem it all. We have this expression, I'm only human. No, you're only fallen human. You want to see man? You want to really see man? We said it earlier, you want to see God. If you want to see a man, a true man, a real man, the way humanity is, look at Jesus. And there you'll see how man is. That's enough on that.
With only about 30 seconds before we let you go, tell us about
sure.
This Lutheran youth organization, Higher Things.
Higher Things is a national Lutheran youth organization which promotes Lutheran identity amongst young people. It's a registered service organization of the Lutheran Church of Missouri. We do it through conferences, retreats, our website, videos, radio, podcasts. We do it through Christ on Campus chapters for college students and a magazine. All of it. Trying to teach young people to dare to be Lutheran, to dare to treasure their faith and be proud about being a Lutheran, and also to have a little bit of fun as they do it.
Folks, you can find out more about Higher Things at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled Christmas in the Nicene Creed. George, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, have a Merry Advent. Blessed Christmas.
And to you as well. When we come back, we'll talk about Thy Kingdom Come. These are words embedded in the Lord's Prayer And when Jesus teaches us to pray for the kingdom of God to come, well, a lot of people have thought about that in terms of an earthly kingdom. Jesus dispels that when he talks with Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." A lot of people have thought about it solely in terms of Christ's coming first or coming again. And while that is certainly included, there's more to the coming of Christ's kingdom, more that we pray for in those words, "Thy kingdom come," than first meets the eye. We'll unpack it with Pastor Bill Swirla right after this.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Have you ever wanted to delve into the writings of the early church fathers but didn't know where to begin? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's our book of the month for December, A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year. You can find out more at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Year with the Church Fathers, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A bad pro-life strategy?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A group called Personhood USA is seeking to get each state to declare a fertilized egg to be a legal person. They're on the verge of victory in Mississippi. That state is in the process of amending its constitution to declare fertilized eggs legal persons and thus outlawing virtually all abortions. Some pro-life advocates are cheering this development. It affirms that life begins at conception and may be a way around Roe v. Wade. Detractors, however, say it is too radical and doomed to fail. Such laws, they assert, would be struck down by the Supreme Court.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.